because of you. We've been dancing with the devil way too long. I know it's fun, but get ready to pay your dues. Oh God, come back home. This crazy world is filled with liars and abusers. We need you now before we're too far gone. I hope one day they finally see the truth. God, we need you now.
Well, good evening, patriots, freedom fighters throughout Saskatchewan, across the country, and around the world. There are a few. How are we all doing tonight? So I wasn't planning on going live tonight, only because I was previously scheduled on the Shadow Davis show, which I did a little bit earlier tonight. Fantastic. I always like hooking up with Shadow. He's a great guy, smart guy. But I had to go and do a live stream tonight because something came up in Saskatoon as I was putting together my day. I got contacted by a fellow that I know, supporter of the PPC and supported PPC campaign, Jason Ardell out in Martinsville. As well as my campaign as well. So contacted me today, and it turns out that his young son, a six-year-old boy, needed surgery, day surgery, urgently for a medical situation. I don't know precisely what it was. We'll get into that. But was refused health care, was refused health services, because the family decided that they didn't want the boy to be subjected to having a PCR Q-tip shoved up his nose, in order to have this done. So because they refused that test, the place that they were supposed to have this procedure done refused to do it. So we're getting to that place now, and speaking of this place, let's just post it so everybody knows what it is. Prairie View Surgical Center refused service to a six-year-old boy who needs urgent day surgery. Thoroughly disgusting. You know, Scott Moe runs around this province bragging that we're fully open, there's no mandates, no restrictions, everything's been lifted, and everything's wonderful, no problem. And this isn't the first time I've heard this. I've heard this happen numerous times. In fact, Nadine Ness contacted me earlier today and said the same thing is happening to someone that she knows, and their child was refused care, health care. And, And, you know, we're getting to that point where, you know, the majority of our taxes are spent servicing healthcare. And we all pay taxes. We all pay into it so that in the event we need healthcare, and Saskatchewan happens to be the birthplace of, you know, government sponsored or dictated healthcare, we expect to get that treatment. We expect to be taken care of. It seems now, through discrimination, through discriminatory policies, practices, that they're not going to serve some people. They're not going to look after some people. And I guess, you know, in that sense, people are going to die. People are going to be left without healthcare that we're paying into. So that seems to me to be taxation without representation. It seems to be taxation without services. It seems to me the government is breaking the contract between the government and the people, where we have this arrangement that they take our taxes and we get healthcare. There never used to be conditions put on that, as apparently there is now. I can't imagine, and I'm going to bring on our guest here shortly, but I can't imagine working in the healthcare field, maybe living out a dream, looking after people, taking care of people, helping people. I can't imagine working someplace that's refusing healthcare services to a six-year-old boy. I can't imagine. I can't, anyone, regardless of age, race, ethnicity. I can't imagine refusing that to anybody, but especially a six-year-old boy. I can't imagine. This father that contacted me also contacted the office of Paul Merriman, who happens to be our health minister, and was told that there's nothing they can do, that it's SHA policy. So it seems to me that the bureaucracy is the tail wagging the Sask Party dog. It seems to me that the SHA is dictating the terms to the government when it should be reversed. The government, the MLAs, the ministers, are the ones who the people elected to look after their best interests. We didn't elect the bureaucracy. We didn't elect the government workers to dictate terms to the rest of us. We've elected people to make those decisions and to do what's in the best interest of the people. Obviously, that's not happening. Obviously, this government isn't capable of running the province. Obviously, this government isn't capable of telling the SHA what to do. No, they would prefer to have the SHA tell them what to do, which is a break in the contract again between the people and the elected officials. I'm pretty fired up about this one. This one's some pretty dirty pool. And so I'm going to bring on our guest here to have a little chat and get his perspective on this and what's happening. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you, Sean?
Good, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good. More importantly, how's your son?
He's good, man. He's all right. You know, okay. It looks like we're going to have a bit of work trying to find out where to take him.
Yeah.
Alberta seems to be the best option right now.
Well, I was talking to somebody today who happened to call Alberta and asked a couple of places there if they're discriminating against people with or without the PCR test, and they said absolutely not. They're not doing any of that. They're asking the regular COVID questions, but if the individual doesn't have symptoms, then they're going ahead with the procedures. My question to you, Sean, is in the case of your son, let's just say, for example, that your son and your family complied and took the PCR test and it came back positive. Does that mean that this place wouldn't serve them? Does that mean this place would actually turn him away? Or would they just use protocols that are in place to deal with emergent or urgent procedures?
No, they would turn him away. There was a case at that same office, I think 2 months ago, where they turned away a child because they tested positive on their local PCR and then took the child to a testing facility at Thatcher, and he tested negative.
Right.
But they turned him away for day surgery.
Well, and that's, I mean, here we go. I'm actually a little shocked. I was a little shocked when you told me that they're still using the PCR test, which, of course, we know is hogwash. We know it's ridiculous to use. It's not in any way an accurate test and shouldn't be used to test infection. Right out of the creator's mouth, the guy who created and invented this PCR test. So that's ridiculous in and of itself. But so what? I don't know if you're open to discussing your son's condition and what it is that he needs. I don't know if you're open. If you're not, you don't have to discuss it. That's your business. But
yeah, no, I don't mind it. It's actually a dental surgery, but he needs to be put under anesthetic for at least 2 hours. So it's serious enough where you can't go to a dental office. He needs to be sedated.
Right. It's a medical procedure.
It's surgery. It's day surgery.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah. And it needs to happen fairly soon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fairly urgent. It is urgent.
Right. Right. Yeah. Unreal.
Yeah.
I want to show you something that's part of the National Healthcare Act and what it actually says. I'm just going to read it here quickly. The intent of the accessibility criterion is to ensure that insured persons in a province or territory have reasonable access to insured hospital, medical, and surgical dental services on uniform terms and conditions, unprecluded or unimpeded, either directly or indirectly, by charges, user charges, or extra billing, or other means. Example, discrimination on the basis of age, health status, or financial circumstances. Reasonable access in terms of physical availability of medically necessary services has been interpreted under the Canada Health Act using the where and as available rule. Thus, residents of a province or territory are entitled to have access on uniform terms and conditions to insured health services. At the setting where the services are provided and as the services are available in that setting. I don't know. Seems like a pretty much a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it was... I can't say I was surprised, Mark, honestly. I spoke with the nurse manager in the office, and I questioned her about the SHA policies. Unfortunately, at that moment, I didn't have the SHA policies in hand. No. And they didn't offer them. You can correct me if I'm mistaken, but nowhere in their SHA policies does it use the words mandatory. And I'm going to dig a little bit further into this yeah. evening. It's even a situation where, not that I was going to test him either way, but I had offered to meet them halfway in order to get my son care and give him a frontal rapid test and wear a mask. And they denied that even as a resolution. It was down the nasal cavity or nothing, yeah. Or I can beat the bricks.
And so did they, the office staff, did they default to the SHA? Did they blame the SHA that, wait a minute, this isn't our policy. This is what the SHA is dictating to us.
Every one of them parroted the same phrase. They almost, I think it almost made them feel like less guilty. They all said the same thing. It's out of our hands. It's out of my control. Right. SHA policy. They said the same thing. Every one of them.
So do you believe them? Do you think this is an isolated situation, or do you think it is actual SHA policy?
I don't know. At this point, I need to do a little bit more digging. But regardless if it's SHA policy or not, I think that as a human, we have a responsibility to look after our children. And you know, to play into their logic, I'd like to ask both surgeons and anesthesiologists and the nurse manager on staff if they are taking a PCR test prior to every one of the surgeries that they're right. attending.
Right.
You know.
How about every day that they show up to the office?
Yeah, every day they show up to the office and before every surgery, as right. they make their patients do.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, man. It's somebody asked, what is SHA, Kathy? It's the Saskatchewan Health Authority. It's apparently the one that's running the province. And the government has defaulted to let the bureaucracy dictate the terms to the people. So, so you showed up there today. Was scheduled for the day surgery. You showed up, and so what happened?
Yeah, 10:30 schedule. I showed up there at 10. I went in. We did the regular screening. You guys have all been through it. You know, you've been out of the province, you've been around anyone who's sick, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're both healthy. I'd like to make that very clear. My son has zero symptoms. I have zero symptoms. We're both healthy. And went through the screening process, completed that. They told him to wear a mask, and I told him that he wouldn't be wearing one, and they were okay with that. Mm-hmm. So that was a good start. Then they said that they're going to take him in the other room and give him a PCR test. And I said, no, thanks. We're not going to do that today. Mm. And that's when everything started crumbling apart. They said, well, if you don't do the PCR test, then we're not going to perform surgery on your son. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm trying to picture myself in that situation. I'd be pretty much 0 to 60. Mm-hmm. How did you handle that?
Surprisingly with civility.
Okay. Good for you.
You know, I think this is a fight, that I want to see through to the end. Yeah. I knew that, and I kind of alluded to that when I spoke with them. I made sure that they understood that, that this is a hill that I'm going to die on. And I have the time, I have the ability to be here, to be there every day. There's nothing stopping me from chasing this all the way down the hole. So that's what I'm going to do.
And somebody asked a question, and it's probably a good question to ask. In your personal opinion, in your personal perspective on this, why refuse the PCR test? I know I would have my own answer to this, but I want to hear what your answer is.
Yeah, because it's intrusive. It's intrusive, and I don't agree. I wouldn't take a test for a sickness that I don't have.
Right.
And I wouldn't subject my son, at the very least, to do the same thing if I wouldn't do it.
Right. 100%. And I mean, you know, You're right in the sense that they're inserting something into your son's body.
Yeah.
And there is no informed consent, and it's actually genetic testing, and there's actually law that governs this, without informed consent or without just even consent by the individual or their guardian. It's against the law to do it. It's against the law, and it's genetic testing, and that's what the PCR is. So this idea that, you know, we're all just supposed to cower, we're all just supposed to accept this tyranny in order to get services that are already guaranteed to us in this country is disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty much summed up the whole day for me. I have opinions about things. This is just something that I'm not going to bend.
Right. And good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I know there's a lot of people that are supporting you, and it's been a topic of discussion in my circles for most of the day. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can raise awareness to this, because again, you're not the only family that's going through this. Yeah. I know of others, and if I know of others, then it's happening, probably pretty widely. Mm-hmm. Alberta's not doing the same thing. Alberta's taking obviously a different approach. Right. So we need to create as much awareness and get as loud as we can on this to force the government to stop this insanity, to stop the nonsense. And start treating people that need to be treated, such as your son.
Yeah, I thought about that a lot today, Mark, because people reached out to me after they caught wind of this and shared their stories with me. They made me do this against my will. You know, I had to do this in order to get this. You know, I was coerced and I was, threatened that my family member wouldn't be given medical treatment unless I did something that I didn't want to do. And I've heard that too many times over the last 2.5 years. Getting into the vaccinations. You know, it's been ongoing, and you know, this is maybe to most, maybe to some, this is a minor situation where they would just do as they're told and do what they don't want to do just to see it through. I know that other dads have come through there, share my beliefs, that felt that they had no other choice. And they subject their 3-year-old, their 2-year-old, their children, period, to a test that they didn't want.
Right.
And, and maybe we can stop it.
So what's next for you, just in the short term? I think you mentioned tomorrow you're going back there.
I will. Yeah. I'm, trying to figure out what to do next. I do want to speak with Dr. John Gamble and Dr. Hillary Stevens. That is the surgeon and anesthesiologist that ultimately made the decision for the nurse managing team. I could tell that there was some empathy from the nursing team. But every time they went back to discuss with the anesthesiologist and the surgeon, it was met with do as I say or beat it. And I would like to get them on camera and hopefully they'll answer a couple questions for me. They really weren't in the answering questions mood this afternoon when I caught them coming out of the building. But I'm pretty persistent and... I'll get a hold of them and I'll see what they have to say.
So do you want people there tomorrow to support what you're doing? Do you want, people there with signs and protesting on your behalf and in support?
I'm mixed about it, Mark, because I don't want things to come across as intimidation.
Right.
What I'd like to do is do some more research into SHA's policies. Right. And I'd like to present that to this organization.
Right.
Having people show up and let the doctors in that facility see that people are watching and people know and people are going to be doing something about it.
Well, and that's, obviously that's why we're speaking on it on this platform. I always hope that enough people will see and be exposed to things. And this is a perfect example that maybe we can raise enough awareness that we can, force the government to change what they're doing. I mean, this is so outside of the norm that, we shouldn't have to do this, but of course here we are. So we have to do it, come at it from as many angles as possible to raise enough awareness. So, I'm going to call out if there's people that are free tomorrow to go to 1848 McCormand Road and support Sean. And if you want to make some signs and support this family against the medical tyranny and medical discrimination, by all means, let's do that. Let's do that. Let's blow this up a little bit.
Yeah. There is just a reminder for those that will show up tomorrow. There are 2 stalls in front of the building that are reserved for outpatients incoming and outgoing. Sure. Just ask that those are left wide open for the patients to be going and coming.
Yeah. And obviously we don't want to, block the street or do anything like that, but just the presence, maybe with some signs, with some, appropriate language, just in there and support. I may find some time. I'll be in touch with you during the day. I can stop by, maybe run a quick live stream you know, see how things are going. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we get somewhere. And obviously, you know, communication is a big part of this. We hope that they're open to communication, that mm-hmm. you can present your argument. And I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, this is about your son and about your son getting the treatment that he needs, without it being impeded or hindered in any way. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's exactly what's happening. So it seems to me, according to the act, they're on pretty shaky ground with what they're doing. And again, they're going to default to the SHA. And again, it's going to come down to public pressure. So hopefully we can do that.
Yeah, I think that's a great plan. I'll do what I can to have the SHA documents in hand tomorrow. Mm.
And so you talked to a few people today. Is there somebody in Saskatchewan that's going to try to help you get this done here at home through an exemption process, or?
Not at the moment. I did speak to a woman that you referred me to. We have looked further into that. I don't know if it's they don't do the full scope. It's a lengthy, a little more serious of a surgery than what they normally do.
Okay.
However, it is an option that we're exploring. It seems right now that it's the only option in the province, but there is other options in Alberta. And I mean, we can go to Alberta and get into Edmonton, I don't think without any issue.
Okay. And that's ultimately where it might have to take place. It's unfortunate. I mean, you shouldn't have to travel anywhere. You shouldn't be out of pocket to get this procedure done that could easily be done here in Saskatoon. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm not going to keep you too long tonight, Sean. I think you just wanted to bring this up, bring this to the attention of as many people as possible. You know, we're with you. We're supporting you. Again, I'll touch base with you tomorrow and we'll see what's happening. What time is a good time for people if they're going to come down and support? Would be a good time for them to do that?
I'd probably say about 10 o'clock.
Okay.
I think 10, 11 through lunch. I mean, their office, I believe, closes at 3:30. You know, come down for an hour, 2 hours.
Sure.
You know, it might just be good to show them that they need to maybe look a little bit further inward at what they do.
Yeah, 100%. And again, this might be, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back. It might be enough attention and it would create enough awareness that the government is, you know, forced to do what's right, hopefully. So yeah, I mean, let's do that. And we're behind you 100%, man.
Appreciate that, Mark.
And good luck to you and your family and of course your son. We'll keep posted. Yeah. I'll be in touch with you tomorrow at some point and we'll figure out how things are. So thanks again for coming on and sharing your story. It's unfortunate you're in this position, but it's nice that you're willing to talk about it and that we can create some awareness around this.
Yeah, let's change it.
You betcha, man.
All right.
Yes. Thanks very much. Yep. Talk to you soon. Take care. God bless. All right. So Sean Carter, standing up, you know, and that's something that we all have to do. It's something that we all have to put ourselves in a position. It's not a comfortable position to be in, but it's about values. It's about principle. It's about not bending the knee to tyranny. And you know, there shouldn't be conditions placed on our people to get the health care that they're guaranteed under the charter and under our constitution. It's guaranteed. I'm gonna read it again, just in case people that just joined us maybe missed it. The intent of the accessibility criterion is to ensure that insured persons in a province or territory have reasonable access to insured hospital, medical, and surgical dental services on uniform terms and conditions, unprecluded or unimpeded, either directly or indirectly, by charges, user charges or extra billing, or other means, example, discrimination on the basis of age, health status, or financial circumstances. reasonable access in terms of physical availability of medically necessary services have been interpreted under the Canada Health Act using the where and as available rule. Thus, residents of a province or territory are entitled to have access on uniform terms and conditions to insured health services at the setting where the services are provided and as the services are available in that setting. I don't know. Seems pretty clear to me. It's just, you know, other provinces aren't doing it. Somehow there's a border between Alberta and Saskatchewan, and, you know, COVID's much smarter, I guess, in Saskatchewan than it is in Alberta. It just blows me away that we're still talking about this, that we haven't turned the corner on this tyranny and discrimination. It's thoroughly disgusting. Scott Moe, if somebody has pointed this out to you, it's time to step up. I don't know how many times we have to go through this before you start doing what's right, before you stop being dictated to by the bureaucracy, before you stop being dictated to by the unions, and you actually stand up and defend the people of this province and the rights that they are afforded, inalienable rights, like healthcare that we all pay taxes for, that we all have contributed to and expect and are entitled 100% to care and should not be turned away because we don't meet an insane condition like subjecting ourselves to a PCR, which is stupid. Enough's enough, Scott Moe. Enough's enough. It's just another nail. Anyways, guys, share this out. It was a short one. It didn't need to be very long. It's just, we need to create awareness with it. It's not a long video. Easy to watch. People be able to grasp it very quickly what the issue is. And let's get this out there. I think Nadine Ness is going to do something maybe tomorrow with the individual that she knows that's gone through the same sort of thing. And so we really gotta bring this to the forefront and stop this. And Gormley, if you're seeing this, you know, this is kind of your job. This is what you should be doing. This is what you should be talking about. Maybe you can pick up the phone and ask Sean to come onto your show. I know you won't, because God forbid anyone's critical of your precious little sass party. But, you know, this is sort of your job. I'll do it because all of these things have become my job and others' jobs, because you in the mainstream, you in the media, couldn't care less about the people. All you care about is an agenda. All you care about is that your precious little sass party keeps power. We get it. And we're tired of it. And we're finished with it. So good luck. Anyways, that's it. I'm finished for the night. I love you guys. Please pass this on. And remember, globalism, bad. Nationalism, good. Ciao for now.
Because of you fools, we've been dancing with the devil way too long. I know it's fun, but get ready to pay your dues. Oh God, come back home. This crazy world is filled with liars and abusers. We need you now before far gone. I hope one day they finally see the truth. God, we need you now.